Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters, I don't know what this world is coming to.
Ultimately, is to bring awareness and make people, you know, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for, and that's something that needs to change. That's something that, you know, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all, and it's not happening for all right now.
Is this something that's evolved as a philosophy in your mind, and how has this kind of progressed that you make a stand like this?
It's something that I've seen, I've felt, wasn't quite sure how to deal with originally, and it is something that's evolved. It's something as I've gained more knowledge about, you know, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently. These aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be.
Will you continue, Colin, to sit?
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Specifically, what would you like to see change in order for you to stand?
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Colin, so many people see the flag as kind of a symbol of military. How do you view it, and what do you say to those people?
You know, I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family. I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening. I mean, people are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody. It's something that's not happening. And I've seen videos, I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right.
Colin, do you personally feel oppressed? Personally?
There have been situations where I feel like I've been ill-treated, yes, but this stand wasn't for me. This stand wasn't because I feel like I'm being put down in any kind of way. This is because I'm seeing things happen to people that don't have a voice, people that don't have a platform to talk and have their voices heard and affect change. So I'm in a position where I...
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to Sports Chat with T-Wash. That was Colin Kaepernick explaining why he's taking the stand he's taking. And I'm really getting tired of this topic because these people criticizing this guy who's not violating any of his rights to speak out for something he believes in. It's really driving me nuts how the media turned this into basically Colin Kaepernick versus our military. As Colin Kaepernick said, he has respect for our military just as I do. I have family members for military. And when I go and attend games or functions like that where you need to rise and remove your cap, I do that. That doesn't mean I have to have my hand on my heart. That doesn't mean I have to agree with everything that's going on in this country. As he said, he's taking a stance against police, and he's taking a stance against, you know, some of the things that's not being honored in this country. Liberty and justice for all, that's not true. That's not true for everyone. That's not true for black people. That's not true for people of color. And you know, a lot of these people need to realize, you know, white people need to realize you have privilege. You're privileged. Now, I'm the farthest person from a racist or anything. I've been raised to be friends with everyone, and I am. But when I don't like something, I call it out. Call it out like I see it, just like Colin Kaepernick's doing. So it's really bothered me that all these people are criticizing him, saying he needs to be thrown out of the country, saying that he needs to be kicked out of the NFL. That's violating his rights. He has the right to speak out and take a stand. And it's like, why these people just don't get it? You know, I don't understand why a lot of white people don't understand that you are more privileged than people of color. You don't have to follow a script when you get pulled over by the police. You don't have to do none of those things. So it's really ticking me off that all these people coming out. You even got a guy that I respect because he's a former player of my team, the New England Patriots, Rodney Harrison, who came out and said some dumb stuff, basically saying Colin Kaepernick's not black. How could you say that? You don't see the man's hair? You don't see his color? Does Colin Kaepernick look white to you? So Rodney Harrison really disappointed me. I didn't understand where he was coming from when he said that Colin Kaepernick can't walk in our shoes. How the hell he can't walk in our shoes when he's black too? So Rodney Harrison really disappointed me on that. And he came out and apologized 3 times on Twitter. So somebody must have gotten his ear like, hey, man, this guy is clearly black. He's not white. So how could Rodney Harrison be critical of Colin Kaepernick? So I just have to say that about Rodney. Like I said, he's my guy. He's one of my former Patriots. I love him to death as a player, but that was just a dumb statement that he made about Colin Kaepernick. And it's killing me. I'm hearing, you know, and looking at social media, and it's mainly white folks, you know, who complaining. Why are you complaining? The man's telling the truth. There's been a lot of unjust deaths pertaining to police and people of color. So people need to stop jumping on this man. He's not doing anything wrong. He didn't burn the American flag. He even changed it for you guys. He's not sitting down anymore. He's kneeling on one knee. So Kaepernick changed it up for you guys. So you guys need to get off his back, let the man take his stance, and let's see what come out of it. And you know, the killer thing is that Stanford swimmer, Brock Turner, just got released from prison for rape. And he got 6 months. He got a 6-month prison sentence, got out after 3. And he raped a girl. And, of course, he's white. I'm not sorry to say. If it was a brother that would have raped a white girl, his butt would be under the jail cell. He wouldn't have got no dang on 6 months. This guy got 6 months for raping a girl at Stanford. Former swimmer, got kicked off the team, Brock Turner. I don't hear a lot of people blowing him up. I don't hear a lot of people talking about him. That goes to that white privilege thing I'm talking about. And once again, I'm the furthest person from being a racist. I just call it like I see it. I get along with everyone. But when this unfair treatment happening in this country, it's unfair treatment. So I just had to give my little gripe on the Colin Kaepernick situation because it's getting old. Let the man do what he do. He's not harming nobody. He's doing peaceful demonstrations. What is it? Is it because he's picked his asshole out? Is he looking militant to you guys? He's looking like the Black Panthers of the 60s because he picked his fur out and that's intimidating you guys? Is that what it is? Colin Kaepernick is doing peaceful demonstrations, and it's really ticking me off that all these people jumping down his back. He's not violating anything. It's his right to speak out because he has a big point.
The conversation needs to be brought up, and white people need to stop being scared, and we need to talk about it. It needs to be put out there. So you guys need to quit jumping on this man. And that's basically all I'm going to say about this right now. But, hey, the phone lines are open. If you want to call in and talk about this Colin Kaepernick situation and tell me how you feel about it, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117, because this crap is getting old. The man's doing nothing wrong. He's telling the truth, but he's getting bashed for it. So I'm going to leave it at that. But if you guys want to call in and talk about it, hey, I'm right here. But today's show, we're going to be doing the NFL preseason recap, and we're going to talk about college football, some of the games that happened earlier, some of the games that's going on right now. I'm currently looking at a good one right now where the Wisconsin Badgers had a nice lead on LSU, and they kind of blew it. LSU came back, took the lead. It's 14-13 right now currently, and it looked like Wisconsin is driving, so it looks like this might be a good finish. So we're going to talk some college football. I'm going to give you guys, like I said, I'm going to talk about some NFL preseason, give you guys all the scores from the last game, the relevant game, game four. I give you some scores on that, give you a recap of what I think about some of these teams and how they look during the preseason. And then we're also going to talk about the top NBA backcourts. Who do you believe? What NBA team do you believe has the best NBA backcourt? But we're going to get into all that after this break.
Hi, sports fans. Don't you love to see young people engaged in a good book? Then it's a must that you check out my website for my newly released title, A Different Color. You will find a list of other engaging books for youth ages 12 through 18 as well. My books are only $10, and they are guaranteed. So if that special young person in your life is not engaged, you will get your money back. So quit stalling and check me out at www.yireadpublishing.com. That's www.yireadpublishing.com. I'm Casey Taylor, and together we make a difference in the lives of our youth.
We'll be right back.
welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Watch. You know what that music mean? That mean it's NFL time. Just to give you an update on that Wisconsin-LSU game, Wisconsin just hit like a 40-yard field goal to take a 16-14 lead, and it's like 3 minutes and 47 seconds left. So we're probably going to be in for a barn burner with this Wisconsin-LSU game. Wisconsin's trying to get the upset. They're playing the game at historic Lambeau Field, so that would make it special if the Badgers could come out with an upset. As far as the NFL preseason, the relevant game 4 was played. Most of those games were played the other night. And the Redskins beat the Buccaneers 20-13. But the preseason, the Redskins looked decent. And they look like they'd definitely be able to challenge for the NFC East. I think it'll be between them. And even though Tony Romo's gone down, I believe the Cowboys still going to be okay because I like how Dak Prescott shined during this preseason. So, and as far as the Giants and Mr. Eli, I don't know. I don't know how good that their running game is going to be. I don't know how good Victor Cruz is going to be able to be. You know, because he's coming back off injuries. Victor Cruz hasn't played he hasn't played really a lot of games in the last 2 years, so we have to see if Victor Cruz will be able to, you know, get back to the form he was a few years back. As far as the Buccaneers, they had a decent preseason. We saw a lot of growth in Jameis Winston, so he's primed to have a better season this year. And Mike Evans, he's playing the way he did his rookie year after a disappointing year last year. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers look to improve too. But I could see them finishing maybe second or third in the NFC South. That division is still going to be owned by Carolina. The Jacksonville Jaguars lose to the Atlanta Falcons 17-15 in the irrelevant game. I didn't have no belief in the Falcons. I don't think they're going to be any good at all. Matt Ryan's overrated. The only bright spot of that team to me is Devontae Freeman, the running back who's good, and Julio Jones. Those are the true bright spots of that team. To me, Matt Ryan's overrated, and their defense is lacking. Their defense is not good at all. Honestly, I believe the Falcons are going to finish last in the NFC South. As far as the Jaguars are my supreme team to win the AFC South. My surprise team, I'm sorry. I believe they'll win the AFC South with Houston coming in second. I just like what they've done. They have the most underrated receiving duo in the NFL with Allen Hurns and Allen Robinson. I expect them to be even better than last year. Blake Bortles is going to be better than last year. He threw 34 touchdowns last year. I believe that's going to be up even more because of the way Julius Thomas came on at the end of the season. I'm expecting him to do good things too. So the Jaguars, I believe that they had a okay preseason, but I believe they're going to have a better regular season and they'll win the AFC South. My Patriots lose to the Giants 9-17. Tom Brady played for like maybe 2 quarters and didn't look that great. He threw a touchdown pass and he had like over 100 yards passing, but that's about it. And they're, their last string guys really didn't do so great on defense, and they turned the ball over a lot. So the Patriots really didn't look so great. But once again, it's still a relevant game where you're going to see a bunch of rookies and guys trying to make the team. But the Giants ended up winning that game 17-9. Then you have the Jets going down to the Eagles 6-14. Just found out today that the Eagles traded Sam Bradford to the Vikings for a 2017 first-round pick and a 2018 fourth-round pick because of Teddy Bridgewater going down. Teddy Bridgewater is out for the season, so the Vikings, they already have everything in place to win and go far. They just need a quarterback. So they're hoping that Sam Bradford will be able to provide that, you know, not turn the ball over, just run the offense and see how far they can go because everything's in place. I mean, they have the running back, they have the defense, they have the tight end, and they have two young, good receivers. They have Stephon Diggs, and they have rookie Laquon Treadwell, who's going to be the type of receiver that could take the top off of defense. But we have to see if Sam Bradford is going to be willing to throw the ball. Sam Bradford, you know, he really hasn't proven how good he can be. And this is the best supporting cast that he's ever had around him. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Vikings look in the NFC North. As far as the Jets, they had the best receiving duo last year in Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker, so I expect more of the same. Maybe Fitz could have the type of season he had last year, and they'll fight for a wild card spot, but that's probably the most I see out of the Jets. The Titans beat the Dolphins 21-10. I don't know how good the Titans really can be, but Marcus Mariota, he should have a better season. He did pretty good his rookie year, and he has Delanie Walker to throw the ball to, and now he has a running game with DeMarco Murray and the rookie running back out of Alabama, Derrick Henry. So we have to see how their run attack go, if they'll be able to help Mariota, you know, progress this season. As far as the Dolphins, it's all on Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they gave the guy the big bucks. Dolphin organization believe in him, and he still hasn't come through for him. So, to me, it's this season is make or break for Ryan Tannehill. The Dolphins' defense should be solid, but what is their offense going to do? I mean, you got Jarvis Landry. That's really the only weapon I can think of. He has Kenny Stills now from New Orleans. So, he has a couple weapons he can throw the ball to. Now, that running back position is up in the air. I mean, can Arian Foster go back to his old Pro Bowl form? I mean, we have to see. Other than that, they have that running back who ran the ball pretty decent last year. I think his name's Jay Adai or something like that. But we have to see how Arian Foster is going to adapt to the Miami system and see if he can get back to his old self. If he can, the Dolphins may be an interesting team to watch. The Colts beat the Bengals 13-10. It's the same issues with the Indianapolis Colts. The defense is not that great. Their run defense is definitely not great. And they have two or three rookies on their offensive line. So we might have the same issue that we had last year as far as Andrew Luck. Is Andrew Luck going to be able to last the whole season? I don't know. You tell me, Colts fans, what do you think? If you want to talk about any of these football teams, if you got a favorite football team you want to talk about, if you want to talk about Colin Kaepernick, if you want to talk about the Stanford swimmer who only got 6 months and served 3 in prison for rape, but he was able to walk free yesterday, if you want to talk about him, you could do that. If you want to talk about baseball, you want to give me your best backcourt in the NBA, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. This LSU-Wisconsin game is 57 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And Wisconsin has the ball, so let's see if LSU is able to force a turnover and try to get the win, or are the Badgers going to get this upset in historic Lambeau Field. The Steelers go down to the Panthers 18-6. The Steelers are going to have a solid year. Even though they don't have Martavis Bryant, it doesn't matter. They have Antonio Brown. They have Marcus Weeding. They have the rookie from last year, and he did pretty good this preseason, so expect more out of him. His name is Sammy Coates. They have him. They have D'Angelo Williams, who did a great job for Mr. Dumb Weedhead, Le'Veon Bell, who's going to miss the first 3 games for suspension. But once he returns, then the Steelers are going to be at full strength. And the question with the Steelers is their secondary. How good can their secondary be? You know, we have to see. Other than that, the Steelers are going to be solid, and they'll be right there when it's all said and done. The Panthers haven't looked that good this preseason, but they'll get in track. They get on track. Cam Newton is Cam Newton, and he has Kelvin Benjamin back now. I mean, think about it. These guys made it to the Super Bowl and ran roughshod over the whole NFC, and Kelvin Benjamin didn't play. He did all this with Ted Ginn Jr., and a couple other no-name receivers I really don't know. Imagine what he's going to do with a healthy Kelvin Benjamin. So I expect the Panthers to be up there with the Green Bays, with the Seattles, with the Arizonas. They'll all be competing for the right to go to the Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions beat the Buffalo Bills 31-0. As far as the Lions, you know, Stafford is Matt Stafford. You know, he could do some good things and he could do some bad things. They added Marvin Jones from the Bengals. I expect him to have a big year because it'll be him alongside Golden Tate. So that means he'll get more balls than he did from Andy Dalton in Cincinnati. So Marvin Jones should have a good year. I picked him up in fantasy, so I believe he'll have a good year. As far as the Bills, this is make a break for my buddy who I can't stand, Rex Ryan. The Bills, you know, he's supposed to be the defensive guru, but their defense hasn't been that great. I like what they're doing on offense. I like Tyrod Taylor, and I like LeSean McCoy and Sammy Watkins. They have some talent, but what can they do in the AFC East? Can they beat the Jets? Can they beat the Patriots? I don't think they can. So they'll be one of those teams hovering around 500, you know, possibly trying to fight for a wild card spot. And then you have the Minnesota Vikings beating the Rams 27-25. Jared Goff threw his first touchdown, you know, in the NFL in that preseason game the other night. The Vikings, like I said, they picked up Sam Bradford, so they're looking to see if Bradford will be able to help them get to where they want to get. As long as Jeff Fisher is there, the Rams are destined to be 7-9 or 8-8, you know, and not make the playoffs. And I don't understand. Jeff Fisher is kind of like Marvin Lewis. I mean, you know, but at least Marvin Lewis makes the playoffs. He just loses in the first round every year. But Jeff Fisher, he finishes 7-9, 8-8, like, you know, or worse, for like last 9-10 straight years. But yet still, the Rams give him an extension. I mean, he must have something on the owner because how he's able to maintain a job, you know, and not make the playoffs or have a winning season, you know, it baffles me. You got the Houston Texans beating the Cowboys 28-17. From all accounts, it looked like Brock Osweiler looked good this preseason, so I believe they'll put up a fight with Jacksonville for the AFC South. But once again, I just believe that it's Jacksonville's year. As far as the Cowboys, I like what Dak Prescott's doing. He looks good. And I believe that he's going to eventually supplant Tony Romo as the starting quarterback for the Cowboys. He's athletic, and he's already shown in the preseason that he has a connection with Dez Bryant, which is a good thing. And Tony Romo's going to miss half the season. So who knows? Maybe if Dak Prescott can get these guys off to a winning record, maybe old Jerry might pull the trigger, trade Romo, or maybe they might convince Romo to just take the money and retire because he's broken down. But it looks like Wisconsin is going to win the game. It'll be an upset. Wisconsin's going to upset number 5 LSU. They just downed the ball. The clock's ticking. It's 41 seconds. It's 16-14. Wisconsin has the ball, so it looks like Wisconsin is about to win. And it says that the LSU's Tigers' last conference regular season loss was in 2002 against Virginia Tech. So the Badgers done it. They played at historic Lambeau Field, and they're coming out of there with an upset of number 5 LSU. Their freshman quarterback looked pretty good today, and he kept going to the tight end. I can't remember the tight end name, but he looked good also. Leonard Fournette, they kind of shut him down for most of the day. He came on in the second half. But all in all, the Badgers get a tough win, 16-14. The Packers lose to the Chiefs, 17-7. Aaron Rodgers has Jordy Nelson back. Maybe Randall Cobb will come back to, you know, the way he was a few years ago because he played like crap last year and I had him in fantasy, didn't give me nothing. Davante Adams also sucked for me in fantasy football last year, but I expected him to put up nice numbers with Jordy going down, but he didn't do nothing. So maybe with Jordy back, that'll bring confidence to the rest of the receiving core,
besides Richard Rodgers, who played out of his mind last year. He played good. The return of Jordy Nelson should start opening up the top of the defense, the top of opposing defenses for the Packers again, the way it was. And I expect the Packers to be one of those top-tier teams again. Like I said, it'll be them, Seattle, Carolina, and Arizona. One of those teams will be representing the NFC in the Super Bowl. As far as the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs, they have a good running attack. Alex Smith, smart quarterback, doesn't make too many mistakes. They'll be fighting for a wild card spot. It might be two teams in the AFC West, or maybe even three, that'll be fighting for a wild card spot. The Bears beat the Browns 21-7. I don't even really want to talk about the Bears because, you know, Jay Cutler is Jay Cutler. Until Jay Cutler can prove that he cares about winning and losing, I'm just never going to believe in the Bears because Jay Cutler doesn't care. He has to prove it, that he cares. As far as the Cleveland Browns, I like how RG3 looked this preseason. I'm rooting for him, and I'm hoping that that connection I saw with him and Terrell Pryor does him good at the beginning of the season, at least until Josh Gordon come back, because we all know what Josh Gordon could do. As long as he got his head on straight and stay out of trouble, Josh Gordon is one of the top receivers in the league. The Baltimore Ravens beat the New Orleans Saints 23-14. Joe Flacco's back, and just found out today that they cut Justin Forsett, so I don't know who they have at their running back position, maybe as a rookie. Terrell Suggs is returning from his ACL injury, so that Raven defense should be back to normal. It should be good again. As far as the Saints, their issue is the defense. The defense is not good. We know what Drew Brees can do, and he has a couple of good receivers he could get the ball to. Brandon Cooks, he has Willie Snead, who plays pretty good. He has Mark Ingram coming out of the backfield. So the Saints will be able to score, but will they be able to stop anyone? The Arizona Cardinals beat the Broncos 38-17. The Broncos finally named their starter, Trevor Siemian, out of Northwestern. I don't know how good he's going to be. The Broncos, as far as their offense, is going to be wait and see. But we know what their defense could do. The defense is good. It's top of the line. And they'll make plays. As far as the Cardinals, they're good on both sides of the ball. But the issue with the Cardinals is not the regular season. It's the playoffs. What is Carson Palmer going to do? Carson Palmer is a known choke artist. He choked when he's in Cincinnati. He chokes when he's with the Cardinals. I mean, they went to Carolina last year in the NFC Championship and just laid out a complete dud. They got blew out. And I blame a lot of that on Carson Palmer because he threw three interceptions in that game. So until Carson Palmer can prove that he can do it in the playoffs, I'm not going to have any faith in the Cardinals because your quarterback is the most vital position. You need your quarterback to produce at a high level if you want to go to the Super Bowl. And I just don't have that belief in Carson Palmer. I have to see it. The 49ers beat the Chargers 31-21. My man, Colin Kaepernick, where everybody criticizing over some stupid stuff. He only had one drive for like 100-some yards, and he led the team to a touchdown. But I feel bad for him. Well, I really don't feel bad for him because there's no way he should have lost his job to Blaine Gabbert. It just announced today that Blaine Gabbert has beat him out for the starting quarterback position for the San Francisco 49ers. We have another college game on right now. Texas A&M is currently beating UCLA 24-22. And it's 2 minutes and 39 seconds left. And UCLA just scored a touchdown. They're going for the two-point conversion to tie the game. So we having some good games today. It's good to see football back. I mean, I'm more of an NFL guy, but, you know, I could dabble in college football too. Just not as much as the NFL. And it's crazy because it's like that for basketball. I'm more of a college basketball fan than I am an NBA fan. So UCLA is lining up right now for the two-point conversion.
Let's see if they get it and tie this game up. Now they called another timeout. All right, as far as the Chargers, Phillip Rivers, savvy old vet, tough guy. I like him. He's a good quarterback, but they don't have the squad to be able to do anything this year. Melvin Gordon, big disappointment for me. Picked him up, thought he was going to be good. He sucked. He didn't score not one touchdown last year. How could you be a top draft pick running back and not score one touchdown in the NFL? I don't get it. So I don't have any faith in their run game. I like Danny Woodhead. You know, he's a former Patriot. He's good, but he got hurt in training camp, so no one knows when he's going to come back. They have a bunch of no-name receivers I don't know besides Keenan Allen. I just believe that the Chargers are going to end up finishing last in the AFC West. The Seahawks beat the Raiders 23-21. Seahawks will be right there in the end, too. Like I said, Russell Wilson had a career year last year. Doug Baldwin had a career year last year. I expect to get better. Tyler Lockett's going to get better. He still has Jermaine Curse. To me, Seattle, it just depends on if Jimmy Graham could go back. You know, if Jimmy Graham could play like he did in New Orleans, Seattle would be right there. Because we already know what Seattle defense is going to do. Seattle defense is one of the top defenses in the league. So that defense will keep them in a lot of games. All right, UCLA is going for the two-point conversion. Let's see if they get in the tie of this game. All right, he's setting up. He snapped it to Josh Rosen. Joshua, two-point conversion is good. UCLA has tied the game. 24-24, 2 minutes and 39 seconds left. Like I said, it's been some good games today, man, and it's going to be some even better ones tonight. As far as the Raiders, I just believe that the Raiders are going to be another one of those surprise games. Like Jacksonville, I believe Jacksonville is going to win the AFC South. I believe the Raiders are going to win the AFC West. I mean, Derek Carr is going to get, you know, he's going to get better. He has Amari Cooper. He has Michael Crabtree. He has Latavius Murray running the ball. He has some other receivers. I mean, the Raiders, and then their defense, they got Miles Jack. They got a bunch of guys that make plays. It just feels like it's the Raiders' year. It feels like, you know, all those crazy fans that be in the black hole going to have something truly to cheer about this season. And I just have a belief that they're going to be able to do it. So, guys, if you want to call and talk about any of these football teams, maybe you got a favorite football team you want to think they did this preseason. How do you think they're going to do this season? If you want to talk about this Colin Kaepernick situation, you want to talk about the Sam Bradford trade to the Vikings. Is it going to be enough to get the Vikings over the top? Win the NFC North or get far in the playoffs? What do you think about that? If you want to talk about any of those topics, 1-516-453-9117.
If you have a strong passion for sports and a love of talking about sports, then hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash at 1-516-453-9117. Here we'll discuss the NBA, we'll discuss MLB, we'll discuss NCAA, we'll discuss NFL, we'll discuss MMA, and yes, we'll discuss even a little hockey. So if you love to talk about sports and you want to have some good conversation, once again, hit up Sports Chat with T. Wash, and that number is 1-516-453-9117. Looking forward to hearing from you.
Nobody told me you could die like this. Nobody told me you could die from bliss, yeah. Nobody told me, nobody told me. We never ever saw it coming on. Oh,
live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Nobody ever told us, we never saw it coming on.
Live it up,
nobody ever told us we could die like this.
Live it up, live it up.
Corrupted by the
you're not driven by the mission, you'll be driven by the cause. Focus on what you begin it, more than becoming who you are. I tried to point them to the sun, but why they calling me a star? Who would have thought we set their minds free with these bars? In this game, in this biz, want the fame.
All right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T-Wash. Texas A&M just went for it on 3rd and 9, and they didn't complete it. So it looks like UCLA is going to get the ball back with 1:30 with a chance to win, either by field goal or by touchdown, if Josh Rosen could get him down the field. And I really wanted to see what this kid Josh Rosen was about, because I heard so much about him last year as a freshman. They were talking about how good he was. If he would have been allowed to come out in the draft this season, he could have been like a top pick. So let's see what he's really made of. Let's see if he could drive his team down the field in 1:18 and get this win over Texas A&M and avoid the upset. We're about to find out. So that leads me right into college football. Today, earlier, we had No. 3 Oklahoma going down in the upset to No. 15 Houston, 33-23. Heisman candidates Baker Mayfield and Greg Ward Jr. had good games. Greg Ward Jr. was 23-40 for 321 yards and 2 touchdowns and led his team to the win. It's a good way to jumpstart your Heisman candidacy to upset the No. 3 team in the nation and play well in the process. So he's definitely on the radar, and the Houston Cougars could be looked at as the darlings of the weekend, because I'm pretty sure no one expected Houston to beat Oklahoma. As far as Baker Mayfield, he's a tough, greedy quarterback. I liked him last year because he has the capability of running the ball and also passing it. And he was 24-33 for 323 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it's not his fault that they lost. In my opinion, after I watched that game, it's Oklahoma defense that blew that game for them. Baker Mayfield did all he could. But in the same token, that Houston defense did a great job, you know, staying in their lanes and not allowing Baker Mayfield to scramble. But, you know, if Oklahoma defense could have made a few plays here and there, then Baker Mayfield would have led them to the win. I mean, their numbers are basically identical. Mayfield passed for 323 yards. Greg Ward Jr. passed for 321 yards, and both of them threw for 2 touchdowns apiece. So it's pretty even in the quarterback matchup. But Houston comes away with the upset, 33-23. Now, this game was a blowout. You had the Michigan Wolverines beat Hawaii 63-3. And freshman quarterback William Spate was 10-13 for 145 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 1 interception. The running back, Chris Evans, rushed for 112 yards and 2 touchdowns himself. Now, Hawaii was just anemic on offense. There's really not even much to say about them. I mean, they had 3 points out of the whole game. That Michigan defense stifled them. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't run. They couldn't pass. They may have had like 110 yards of total offense. I mean, it was that bad. Ohio State throttled Bowling Green 77-10. JT Barrett had a great day. But it's against Bowling Green, so I really don't want to, you know, talk too much about it. It's Bowling Green. But he still had a good day, 21-31, 349 yards, 6 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Wide receiver Curtis Samuel had 9 receptions for 177 yards and 2 touchdowns, so he had a great day also. So JT Barrett was just tossing it all around the field, and Bowling Green didn't have an answer. Their quarterback, Napke, only passed for 110 yards and 2 interceptions. So that tells you how the day went for Bowling Green. And I already discussed the LSU-Wisconsin game. Wisconsin upset LSU 16-14. And the freshman quarterback for Wisconsin had a decent game. Bart Houston had a decent game. He had a good game. He's throwing the ball to the tight end. Like I said, I can't remember the tight end's name, but You could tell they had a good connection. Badgers played tough physical defense, basically shutting down Leonard Fournette. He had a couple of flashes. Oh, the great quarterback, they say, Josh Rosen, just threw an interception. 37 seconds left. Looked like Texas A&M, depending on the field position, they may be running the clock out and playing for overtime, or they might go for it. I can't tell right now where they're at on the field, but the great quarterback I heard about for UCLA, Josh Rosen, you know, he's supposed to be so good. He just threw an interception, you know, with the game on the line, trying to take his team down the field to win the game. He just threw a bad interception. And Texas A&M has the ball, 37 seconds left. And Texas A&M may have to make a couple of throws if they want to get in field goal range. Other than that, I see this going to overtime. Tonight's games, well, you have Georgia and North Carolina. That's a game that's going on right now. And I really don't know the score of that game. Texas A&M just pitched the ball. They're running plays. 29 seconds. The clock's tickling down. So we'll see if they can get in field goal range and get a kicker a chance to win. They just called a timeout. The Georgia Bulldogs, they welcome back Nick Chum, who tore his ACL last year. And he was real good. He's a good running back. And everybody's wondering, you know, how he's going to come back. So had to check back a little later and see how he did. But tonight, there's some interesting games coming on. USC is going to take on Alabama. We already know how good the Crimson Tide is. I really don't know much about USC nowadays. I just know they got a good receiver named Schuster. He's pretty good. And Alabama has that good tight end who put on the show against Clemson in the national championship game last year. The thing with Alabama, you know, they're a running team, and their team is predicated on running and defense. Quarterback really doesn't shine in that offense. And honestly, I don't even know who the quarterback is for the Crimson Tide. But they play tonight at 8 o'clock. The quarterback just scrambled for Texas A&M. He ran out of bounds. There's 20 seconds left, and they're getting it in field goal range. So we may be seeing a game-winning field goal on the part of Texas A&M. Those Clemson Tigers play tonight at 9 o'clock. They play against Auburn, and this is where Deshaun Watson begins his Heisman campaign. Honestly, I believe he's going to win the Heisman because the boy is no joke. He can pass and he can run. He's calm and cool under pressure. And in my opinion, he's the best quarterback in college football right now. So we get to see Deshaun Watson in that high-flying Clemson offense today against Auburn. I don't know how good Auburn is. Last time I remember Auburn being good is when Cam Newton was there. So I don't know how good they can be. Tomorrow night, you have overrated Notre Dame taking on Texas. I'm just not really a big Notre Dame guy because they, you know, they got their own TV contract, and it seemed like if they 8-3, well, the way it used to be until they started the playoff, it seemed like Notre Dame, if they win 8 or 9 games, they was in a major bowl game, even when they didn't deserve it. So not really a big fan of Notre Dame, but they play Texas. They had that quarterback Kaiser who's pretty good. I know he's a Heisman hopeful. Texas is not too good. I hope I'm rooting for Charlie Strong, you know, black coach. I want him to do good in Texas. So hopefully Texas will be able to maybe upset Notre Dame. You never know. And that could get them going in the right direction. And then Monday you have Ole Miss taking on Florida State and another Heisman hopeful, Dalvin Cook, who's the best runner. Well, Leonard Fournette's good, but I like Dalvin Cook better. To me, Dalvin Cook can do more than Leonard Fournette. So I would say Dalvin Cook's the best running back in college football right now. But he'll be taking on Ole Miss. They lost Daquan Treadwell, so I don't know how their receiver corps is going to look. I'm expecting Dalvin Cook to get a lot of touches on Monday and make plays. So, you know, that's pretty much it for college football. Like I said, right now, as far as this UCLA-Texas A&M game, it's 7 seconds left. third and 10, and Texas A&M just called a timeout, so I don't know if they're going to go for the field goal here or they're just going to down the ball and, you know, settle for overtime. I'll fill you guys in as it happens. Guys, if you want to call in and talk about any of these topics, hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. Now we're going to do a quick rundown of the MLB scores from last night. Yeah, the Chicago Cubs, team I'm rooting for to get to the World Series. They beat the Giants 2-1. And this Giants team is a team I believe they're going to end up seeing in the NLCS because of the pitching. He dropped the ball. Texas A&M, quarterback just threw a pass. There's 3 seconds left on the clock. He just threw a pass. The guy caught it, and he would have been in chip shot field goal range. He caught it, but the UCLA defender, you know, he wrenched it out of his hands, and he dropped it when he hit the ground. Man, they would have been set up perfect. They would have been set up to win. So it looked like they're going to take one last heave to the end zone, but they called another timeout. They're currently on their own 40-yard line, so they have some ways to go, but they only got one play left in them. They're going to have to heave it and go for a Hail Mary and see if maybe they can win the game that way. The Milwaukee Brewers beat the Pittsburgh Pirates 1-0. My Atlanta Braves beat the Philadelphia Phillies 8-4. The Baltimore Orioles beat the New York Yankees 8-0. The Cincinnati Reds beat the St. Louis Cardinals 3-2. The Washington Nationals beat the New York Mets 4-1. My other team I root for to make it to the World Series out of the American League, the Cleveland Indians, beat the Miami Marlins 6-2. See, that's the dream matchup I want to see. I want to see the Cleveland Indians against the Chicago Cubs, and I want the Cubs to win. Because it's been a long time, man, and the Cubs need to win. It's time. They have the team in place. They got the pitcher staff. They got the batting talent. They got the good defense. It's really no excuse why the Cubs can't win the World Series this year. Oh, he just heaved the Hail Mary. Almost. They almost got it. In the regulation, UCLA and Texas A&M going to overtime. The Tampa Bay Rays beat the Toronto Blue Jays 8-3. The Texas Rangers beat the Houston Astros 10-8. My favorite American League team, the Chicago White Sox, beat the Minnesota Twins 11-4. The Detroit Tigers, who's been on the come up, beat the Kansas City Royals, last year's World Series champion, 7-6. The Colorado Rockies beat the Arizona Diamondbacks. They doubled them up 14-7. Another team that's been hot like wildfire. The Boston Red Sox destroyed the Oakland Athletics 16-2. They're pushing for the division. So Red Sox could make things interesting in the American League. The San Diego Padres beat the L.A. Dodgers 4-2. And the Seattle Mariners beat the L.A. Angels, who's been a big disappointment with all the talent they have, 11-8. So that's a rundown of the MLB and some of the scores. I'm going to take a quick break, and then when I come back, I'm going to get into my top backcourts in the NBA. right, welcome back to Sports Chat with T. Wash. If you guys want to call and chime in about any of these topics, Colin Kaepernick, his situation, NFL preseason, your favorite NFL team, college football that's going on right now, or games that happened earlier, or the topic I'm about to discuss right now, and it's my top NBA backcourts, in my opinion. This is my opinion. Hit me up, 1-516-453-9117. They're currently doing the coin toss in this Texas A&M UCLA game. I like it's going to be Texas A&M ball. They're accepting the ball first. Well, to start, in my opinion, the number one backcourt in the NBA, of course, is the Splash Brothers, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Steph Curry averaging 30.1 points a game. Klay Thompson averaging 22.1 points per game. Both can shoot out of this world. Both have capabilities of making double-digit threes any given night. They also high-percentage free throw shooters. So it's like, what do? You can't foul them. They're going to make it when they go to the line. And, you know, Klay Thompson is more of a spot-up guy, whereas Steph Curry, he can, you know, shake you up, cross you over and pull up and shoot a three in your face from any range. It doesn't matter. That's how accurate the guy is. So I had to give them the number one title as a top backcourt in the NBA. Number two, I'm going with Damian Lillard, one of my favorite players who's underrated and should definitely be an all-star, but because he plays in the West, he'll never be an all-star. Maybe when Chris Paul retires, because you know it's mostly a fan-driven vote. But in my opinion, Damian Lillard's an all-star. His backcourt mate, C.J. McCollum. To me, they're the second most dominant backcourt duel in the NBA. Damian Lillard averaging 25.1 points per game, and C.J. McCollum averaging 20.8 points per game. C.J. McCollum, he's young. He makes things happen. He can score. He can shoot. He can drive to the basket. Damian Lillard, the same thing. Plus, Damian Lillard has some playmaking skills. Not like the traditional point guards, but if he needs to pass the ball and make a play, he can do that. Number three, I have Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. And they're clearly the best two players on the Toronto Raptors team. And Kyle Lowry averaged 21.2, while DeMar DeRozan averaged 23.5. Both of these guys, it's vital for them to succeed in order for Toronto Raptors team to succeed. So I would have them as the top, as the number three duel as far as backcourts in the NBA, in my opinion. Number four, I got John Wall and Bradley Beal. But I don't know about these guys. I don't know if they really get along because Bradley Beal just got his contract and John Wall came out and made a statement saying that, you know, now that you got your money, not prove it on the court. So I don't know if it's friction between these brothers or what. But John Wall averaged 19.9 and Bradley Beal averaged 17.4. The issue with Bradley Beal is that he doesn't stay healthy enough. He always seems to be hurt. John Wall, he's a good point guard. He can pass the ball. He can score. He's athletic. Bradley Beal, I mean, he can score the ball. He's not really great on defense. And he's not as athletic as John Wall, but he's solid at the two-guard spot. Texas A&M is currently trying to punch it in for a touchdown and get the first points on the board in overtime. Quarterback sneak. Looks like UCLA stopped them. On the goal line. If they did, that's bad news because that means if UCLA go down and score, the game is over. My number five NBA backcourt is Russell Westbrook and Victor Oladipo, the new addition to the Thunder. Westbrook averaged 23.5, and Victor Oladipo averaged 16 points per game. Now, in my opinion, this is going to be the most athletic backcourt in the NBA. Both these guys are capable of taking the ball and jamming it down your throat. Both of these guys are good at creating their own shots. Both of these guys can go to the basket. And in all honesty, I expect Russell Westbrook to be the NBA MVP this season because he doesn't have Durant there anymore. And Russ is going to be looking to take games over and looking to make things happen. He's going to look to be the leader. And it just all paints a picture of Russell Westbrook being the NBA MVP this year. And then, like I said, they're going to have the most athletic backcourt in the NBA with Westbrook and Oladipo. And rounded out, number six, I have Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade, both new additions to the Chicago Bulls. Rondo averaged 11.9 points per game last season for the Kings, and D-Wade averaged 19 points per game for the Miami Heat last year. I think they both would be good additions to the Chicago Bulls, but, you know, both of these guys are older. So let's see if they can stay healthy. Dwayne Wade stayed healthy for a lot of games last season. Is he going to be able to repeat that feat in Chicago? Because they're going to need him. The Bulls lost a lot. So it's going to be interesting to watch the Bulls in the East, you know, with a team, you know, with players like Rondo and Wade and Taj Gibson and Nikola Mirotic and, you know, Doug McDermott. You know, it's going to be good to see those guys and see what they can do. You know, so that's a rundown of basically the top NBA backcourts, in my opinion. I believe Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, the sky's the limit for those guys. They're young. They're going to be together for years to come because I don't see the Golden State Warriors breaking up that backcourt. You got something special there. They already won a championship. They got a chance to win another championship this year with the addition of Kevin Durant. They have a big chance to win. And as far as Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, they both are locked up. I think Portland is going to have to do something about Lillard after this season. But they already locked up C.J. McCollum. They re-signed him, gave him an extension this year. So we have to see how that turns out. What's going on? It's Sports Chat with T-Wash. Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, man? This is Bryce calling from Brooklyn.
Hey, what's going on, Bryce? I'm talking NBA, man. Did you hear what I said about best backcourts? Who the best NBA backcourt in your opinion, man?
Ooh. You know, I'm going to go, you know, I got to go with Steph and Klay.
That's what I got.
Yeah, I think that's the best NBA backcourt. I will say, though, I think if healthy, a very underrated backcourt is D. Rose and Courtney Lee. That could be very underrated.
Look, I'm going to give you my top six backcourts. I just reeled them off. I'm going to give you my top six. And honestly, I don't think Derrick Rose and Courtney Lee fit in, can top these guys. Okay, my one is Curry and Thompson. My two is my man Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. My three is Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Four, I got John Wall and Bradley Beal. Five, I got Westbrook and Oladipo. And six, I got Rondo and Wade. They might be able to, you know, if Rose could be healthy, I would probably put them with Rondo and Wade, man. I don't know.
Oh no, yeah, no. I think you, dude. I think your top six is spot on there. But I feel that the backcourt of Lee and Rose would be very underrated. People think, oh, you know, it's the Knicks, it's Rose, he's always hurt. But if healthy, that could be a very effective backcourt right there. I'm not saying a top five backcourt, but a very effective NBA. I mean, look. A healthy Derrick Rose, whoever your favorite basketball team is, NBA team right now, tell me you wouldn't take a healthy Derrick Rose at 18-8. Who wouldn't take that guy?
Yeah. I would take it. I'll take him. You know what? And you know what's crazy? I was looking at some because a lot of New York fans been like doing a lot of tribute videos to Derrick Rose, and I looked at one man. I was looking at them old highlights, you know, from a few years ago before he started getting hurt. Man, if we could get anywhere near to that, man, the Knicks would be special, man.
You know what, fellas? It's not going to be like that would be great. I don't think the Knicks need that. You know what they need? They need a guy who's going to give a lot of effort on defense. They need 18-8. They need 18-8.
Yeah.
That's what they need. They need a solid 18-8 because on this team moving forward, Derrick Rose, A, doesn't have to carry the scoring load, and B, could be a solid third option, Carmelo and Porzingis.
Yeah, I agree. They definitely need to, get some more shots for Porzingis, man. I think Porzingis needs to average more than he had last year. He definitely needs to put more points up this season.
Oh, come on, man. That's a given. You 100% on that. Let me tell you something, man. When they drafted Porzingis, I was sitting in the spot here in Brooklyn. I almost threw something at the TV. Just me not even knowing. This dude in all these games. Let me tell you something, fam. This dude can play. I mean, he can just flat out play. No hyperbole. He can flat out play. And it's not even the skills. It's the heart he plays with. You ain't going to punk him. He ain't never going to be scared. He going to come right back at you. He knows how to play. Effort on defense is crazy. Dude, I'm telling you, this dude got to be your second option. He's got to be that.
I completely agree, Bryce. I completely agree, man. He does. He plays with a fire, and I like it because he a big man, and he can take it out there and shoot threes, man. The guy has a nice jump shot. He can play inside, and he's athletic. So why not? He should be the number two scorer on the team, man. I agree. Behind Melo, he should be the number two guy. And then Derrick Rose. And then, hey, whatever dirty work, if you get the old dirty, lunch pail Noah, then that's going to help too.
Well, 100%, because what you also get with Noah, regardless of where he's at physically, is you get a player that can pass the basketball. So that's going to help facilitate shots for other guys, particularly a kick-and-shoot guy like Courtney Lee, if you can penetrate, move the basketball, he gets that shot, he can make it. And as we've seen in the playoffs last year, he's not scared to take those shots.
Oh, no. And then we know he's going to give you good defense.
And that's also why I think the Rose Lee backcourt could actually be one of the most underrated backcourts in the NBA.
Okay. I agree with that. But let me ask you this. Did they address that bench, man?
Oh, you know what? This is tricky. Okay, I'm going to actually throw it back to y'all after I give my little take on that. This is tricky.
Okay.
Here's the thing. When you got – they didn't address the bench offensively. I think they're going to have to find shots. But if you're not going to get that, then what do you need? You need guys that's going to give all out on the other end of the floor. And the Knicks got younger. They got faster. They got a lot of energy on that bench. Young guys itching to prove themselves. They're going to play defense. So on the one hand, you worry for the offense, but if they all buy in on defense, you got some long, athletic, energetic young guys that are just going to fly around on defense and play.
Yeah.
So that could be to their benefit when you mix and match with the starters.
Okay. Yeah. Let me ask you, what you think about the Colin Kaepernick situation, Bryce? Because, man, I went off at the beginning of my show, man. I gave a little monologue about that situation. And it drives me nuts how everybody criticizing this guy. I got family members who were in the military, too. And, it's like the media just made it seem like it's Colin Kaepernick versus the military. And that's not what it's about at all. The guy has a right to take a stance, and he even changed it up now. He's kneeling. He's not sitting down. He's kneeling as a sign of respect to the military. So it's like, dude, people drive me nuts when I, look at all the social media and read it. And, and especially it's the white folks, they just don't understand that they're privileged. They're privileged. They don't have to follow a script like me, you, and Colin Kaepernick, They don't have to, have their hands on the steering wheel, roll their windows down, and try to make sure you do everything perfect and not get shot. And you still might get shot. So I want to ask, man, what you think about this Colin Kaepernick situation?
Bro, let me tell you, man. Not only is everything you said on point, I'm going to take it a step further. You already know what it is, and these people already know what it is. The reason why they're trying to redirect to his stance on the anthem is because they don't care about black folks getting killed in the street. The only thing they care about, as long as A, it ain't them, and B, as long as the police are keeping the thugs in line, do whatever you want to them, because that's what they believe a cop's job is. So we can amend ourselves. Even Colin Kaepernick, as eloquent as he's talking about this, like you said, amending himself but never compromising his stance, we still can't get the police unions to come out and support and take any responsibility. They're still writing immature, arrogant statements about what he's doing. They refuse to take any responsibility because they think what they're doing is right. They think that's what we're here for. To shoot and kill y'all and keep y'all in line because they believe there is something inherently wrong. They have fully embraced that racist narrative that there's something inherently wrong with black folks. They're criminal, and we need to just keep them in line. And if we get a couple casualties, that pales in comparison to keeping all of you in line that we need to, because all you do is commit crimes anyway. And a lot of people think that, so they don't see a problem with it. That's what it is.
I know. You hit it on the money, man. It just drives me nuts, man, because, you know, I do stuff, man. Like, I put on a shirt, you know, that say Black Lives Matter or whatever, and I post a picture, you know, or I, like, wear my African, like, beads or whatever. I post a picture, and then, you know, I got people who, you know, who know me on Facebook or whatever. They, you know, they're white, and, you know, they'll put on my thing, you know, All Lives Matter, and, I've been talking about these college football games, too. Texas A&M just upset UCLA 31-24 in overtime.
I saw that score out there,
so it was another upset.
Yeah, Rosen for UCLA, the quarterback. They talking him up. I think he can throw it, but he's reckless with the football, man. I think he got a little bit too much confidence in what he can do. Too many turnovers.
I was just talking about him, and you know, basically laying out this game for everybody, you know, in the listening audience, and talking about how they pulled Josh Rosen up so much last year. They were saying that he was so good, he could have been the number one draft pick this year if he was allowed to come out. And so, man, he had a chance to take his team down and win this game with 1:07 left, and he threw an interception, man.
He's too young. Let me tell you something. He's very reckless with the ball, but he's extremely confident. Before he threw the interception, he's waving his arms up and down to pump up the crowd, like, yeah, bring it on. We about to go down and win this. And he goes and throws a pick. He too reckless with the football, man. Too reckless.
Yeah.
You can see his mechanics start to break down. He tries to make something happen, and he feels he can just fire footballs into tight windows like that, and he's getting picked. It's not a good look.
Yeah. It's definitely not. Definitely not. But, I gotta ask you, man. I mean, I know you're a Knicks fan, man, but you live in Brooklyn, man. What the hell is the Brooklyn Nets doing, man?
You know what the answer is? Who cares? That's the answer. Who cares? I've been a lifelong, since the early 90s, Knicks fan. I could care less what the Brooklyn Nets are doing. They could go, for all I'm concerned, they could go 0-82.
Oh, so you go back to the glory years, back to the Charles Oaktree and Mason and Starks, man. Hey, man, to this day, one of the best games to me, man, is when Starks came baseline and dunked on Horace Grant and Jordan. And, yes, I'm saying Jordan. A lot of people want to take Jordan out of that, but Jordan jumped.
Of course.
The best games, man.
And to bring it all back around, the reason why I love those teams is because they played basketball a certain way. Where you couldn't come into the Garden and get wins like you can now.
Yep.
And I think guys like Melo and guys like Porzingis, say what you want, I think they do play with a level of heart that I want to see the other players play with. And that's one of the reasons why I really like Porzingis, because he plays with that heart. He plays with a lot of heart.
Yeah, I agree. But see, that's kind of like the reason why I don't care for the NBA of today. I love the 80s and 90s because, you know, back then it was real basketball. Me and, you know, some of my buddies, you know, that's around the same age as I am, we talk about that all the time. It was real basketball. You could hand check. You know what I mean? You could pound somebody when they come to the basket. You're not going to get kicked out the game. It's like now the NBA is soft. And I think that's why I'm more of a college basketball guy now, whereas in the past, I loved the NBA. And I loved it so much. Look, man, I'm from the Chicago area. They show a Utah Jazz game, and I can't stand John Stockton and Karl Malone. They show a Utah Jazz game, I will watch it. That's just because I loved the NBA during them years.
Yeah, I mean, you really got to respect the basketball being played. Now, a lot of one-on-one iso ball. The ball gets stuck.
Yes.
So it can get a little bit tough to, watch. Hopefully, you know, the Knicks, they can get out of that. It's funny. Melo moves the basketball better than people give him credit for. He just needs better teammates. So hopefully, with better teammates, the Knicks will be more efficient on offense. I think they got a chance to do that.
Okay. Well, you already know, man. Our favorite sport about to start here next week. hey, what your Steelers gonna do, man? They gonna be all right, you know, with dumb Le'Veon Bell missing the first three games?
I think they'll be fine because either way, a lot of depth at running back. I like Daryl Richardson as a backup. That guy's got some great explosion. I want to see him as a kick returner. But at the end of the day, my dude, it comes down to two things. One, the offensive line. I think this is a top 10 offensive line. And B, well, maybe he's probably more A, is Ben Roethlisberger. When you got a top three quarterback, you can do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah, you know Big Ben going to be there. I don't have any worry about him. As long as he stay healthy, you know, they'll be all right, man. You know what Antonio Brown going to do.
Oh, yeah. Aside from getting too greedy, if you look at Ben as a football player, this is a football player. At the times, you know, aside from getting too greedy and trying to always go deep too much, and sometimes he drives me crazy with that, Ben really doesn't have a lot of weaknesses as a football player.
Yeah.
He really doesn't. I mean, when you really track him, he doesn't have a lot of weaknesses, and he's only getting better as he continues to work out and keep himself slim. I mean, he's a beast, my dude. He's a beast. There's not a lot of weaknesses in that game in terms of his footwork, in terms of his arm strength, in terms of his accuracy. He's always been extremely accurate with the football. He don't have a lot of weaknesses. So Pittsburgh's in good shape at that position.
Yeah, they are. I know last time we talked about their defense because that's what I believe they're shaky as far as their secondary. I like Shazier, and I like, you know, their linebackers. And is Cam Hayward coming back yet? You know, he had got hurt.
Yeah, I think he'll be ready for week one. Look, if Ricardo Matthews should be ready, this guy's a good backup defensive end. He plays with a big motor. So if in spot duty he has to go 1 week with Tuitt on the other side, I think we could still be in good shape. I don't particularly trust the Redskins. But let's talk about the secondary for a little bit for a second. This is kind of a sink or swim situation. I know we talked about this before. Willie Gay, according to Pro Football Focus, is a very efficient corner. He doesn't get beat that much because he's just very savvy and he's got some shifty skills people don't really realize. He's faster than he looks. Ross Cockrell is a guy 6 foot tall. He's solid on plays above the neck real well. But the backups they now have, so they've made Artie Burns the first-round pick. He's the third corner. So they basically said sink or swim, Artie, because the third corner is like a starter. So he's going to play a lot. So we'll see. A lot of speed, a lot of length, raw. The fourth corner, they just traded for Justin Gilbert from Cleveland.
Yeah, they did, from Cleveland. I saw that.
So this is going to be interesting, too, because it's like Justin Gilbert as a first or second corner, nah, terrible. Justin Gilbert as a fourth corner?
That may be
good.
Kind of
like Darius Hayward Bay a little bit. Hayward Bay is your number two receiver. You're in trouble. Hayward Bay is your fourth receiver? You're in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I agree.
So we got to see about the secondary. They've added a lot of speed and size to the secondary now. Let's see what they do.
Yeah. I'm just ready for it to start, man. And as far as my boys, man, New England, remember?
Oh, yes. Yes. No disrespect. I'm trying to forget. You know I don't like you guys.
hey, remember, man, when they play, you got to call me, man. We got to talk about it. Win or lose, man. Either of our teams, win or lose, you got to call me, man. We got to discuss the game, man.
We got to do that. We got to do that, absolutely. Because, your boys they're going to be there, but they're going to have to overcome some adversity. Ninkovic, you know, Brady, Deion Lewis. We'll see. What do you think?
James White did a decent job for Deion Lewis, so I'm not really worried about that because he's the same type of back. But Deion Lewis is a little more explosive and a little more shiftier than James White. But James White could get it done out the backfield, too, as far as being that third down back. Now, Blunt, I've pretty much had enough of Blunt. I wanted them to keep that one running back they had, Tyler Gaffney. He showed up in the preseason, but I just found out today they cut him. So I wanted them to keep him to supplant LeGarrette Blunt. Because I had enough of Blunt. And as far as Brady, you know, I believe Brady going to be fine. You know, he looked okay in the preseason, a few snaps he took. And I think Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, he has too many weapons to not succeed. And the thing I like about Garoppolo is that he's mobile. He can run. He's not going to stand in the pocket all day like Brady. If he got to tuck it down and run it, Garoppolo will do that. And I just believe with Gronkowski and hopefully Martellus Bennett, because he had a disappointing preseason. He didn't do nothing. He dropped a lot of balls. I'm hoping Martellus Bennett and that Gronk, you know, combo do some things, you know, to go along with the same usual cast, Edelman, Amendola, and Kevin Hogan, man. That Kevin Hogan guy looks good for us. You know, the guy that used to play for Buffalo. He looked good this preseason.
Hogan. It's Chris Hogan, right?
Yeah, Chris Hogan. Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
So, you know, I believe that Jimmy Garoppolo has enough weapons to at least get us to 3-1 or 2-2 at the worst. And then that game five, when Brady comes back in Cleveland, and I'll be there. I'm going to be in Cleveland for that game. I believe that's when the fireworks going to start, man. It's going to be back on track. And then, you know,
it's
going to
be
knows,
back
man?
On
Maybe,
track.
Back on track. Maybe we'll see you guys in the AFC Championship game, man. I don't know.
Hey, I'm very confident. And TC, and one of the things I think that was hidden in last year's game is you definitely out-schemed us. We didn't know – defense didn't know where to line up. We talked about this. But this time, with Gilbert, with Burns, they're going to have 8 games under their belt in the system before they see the Patriots. So I think they're going to at least know where to line up. So let's see. Hopefully, you know, I think that's going to be one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely think it's going to be like a shootout. I do agree with that. I definitely think both teams going to put points on the board because, you know, you had Le'Veon Bell back too. I mean, it's going to be ugly. That's going to be a good game. I would love to
be
at that game.
It could be one of the 35-31 games.
Mm-hmm. Come down to a field goal, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's at Heinz Field, so you got that advantage.
Yeah. I mean, I would rather – look, if I'm going to play the Patriots, I'd rather play them later in the season simply because, they can – you know, you get your people in your system. They put some stuff on tape. So, they're so well coached, they could change it up. But I think you have a better chance when you see them in the beginning – you're not used to the pace they play at. You're not used to the substitutions and the schemes. And they can really do what they did to us in the beginning, just make you look stupid and really get you behind the eight ball. But after 9 games, when you kind of know what you're doing, you can formulate your plan a little better. So, you know, I'd rather have that.
All right, well, okay. Well, Bryce, man, as usual, thank you for calling me, man. And, I'm going to keep telling you, you know, I do this show Wednesdays and Saturdays at 6:30, man. So always feel free to call me, man. I love it when you call me because we have this good dialect with each other, and I just appreciate it, man. So, hey, hit me up whenever. Definitely hit me up when the Pats and the Steelers play, man. we could spend a whole hour talking about that, man.
Oh, we could do it, man. Yeah, that's gonna be fun, man. I'm already looking forward to it, man. Always good talking with you, Wash.
All right, man. Thanks, buddy.
All right, cool. Talk to you later.
All right. All right, that was my man Bryce. All right, this Sports Chat with T. Wash. Who's calling?
Hey, gentlemen, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good. Well, you know, it's the National Football League, the NFL. Week one's right around the corner. I live in Minnesota here, and, you know, the teddy bear went down with his knee crumbled like a cookie. And then my Cowboys, Nancy boy, went down. Now we have the piranha. and we trust, and then you got franchise, Jerry Jones in with a little my show, you know, running for cover. And one thing about the Vikings here in town, it's that, you know, we have the new, I call it the pole barn, or I like to, on my podcast, we call it Noah's Ark. We did a lot of work in that place. A friend of mine, I mean, we were joking around that, you know, the Black Lives Matter, and I was making fun of the stadium, and he said, # Black Stadiums Matter, because, I mean, it's ugly. If you look at it, it looks like an ice cube coming out of someone's anus. It's just this ugly stadium, unlike the Cowboys, if you look at how it looks, it looks like football from the sky. And he put it on a big thing. So it's cool in there, but they didn't put it on a big enough footprint. It looks like a pole barn. It's an ugly black stadium. So it but, you know, $1.1 billion, we built a pumpkin ball. We built the hockey, the Hennepin, Minnesota Twins. So us taxpayers are building for these rich billionaire millionaires. And maybe so. Week one starts. We did a YouTube channel. So me and my friend of mine, my YouTube channel, we did a Google Hangout and the NFL podcast and BTR. And then tomorrow we do our we whatever. But anywho, so week one, a couple games we talked about. I want to know you. I think there'll be some interesting. I'm going to hang on. Can you guys hang on 1 second, my dear? Hang on.
Okay. How do you feel about
Hey, Chris. Hang on, Chris. I'm on a podcast right now. On BTR. Gentlemen, this is Chris Ransom, Draft Utopia. If you don't mind, he's one of my board members of Speculation Sports. Chris Ransom, welcome to the show.
All right. How you doing?
Chris, are you there? Well, maybe he's not there. He did call me on my cell phone, but I'm sorry. All right, so week one of the National Football League, you guys. I'm looking forward to the Thursday night game, but here's what I want to say. I personally think it should have been – I get it's a rematch. I personally think it should have been – Oakland Raiders would have been a better matchup because the Raiders, I expect to have a good season this year. Denver, I don't think so. Okay. I get defending, but I think that would have been a better matchup to have the Raiders open up in Denver, the Mile High. Your thoughts?
The Raiders in Denver, you know what? I actually got the Raiders winning the AFC West. So I think that would have been good.
I have the chicken.
I believe
the
Raiders are going to do it this year.
I have the Kansas City Chicklets win it all this year against the Cupcakes. So I have Arizona and KC in the H-Town. So I have the Cupcakes, and I have the Tard Santa Claus, I call him. Cause he looks like a Tard Santa Claus. And also then you've got, I call him the Mafia, the head coach of the Cupcakes. He's, you know, I tell you, it's the Mafia. It's going to be a Sugar Bowl, Cupcakes and Chicklets. But I think that now that the cripple is gone, he's out there, you know, selling Chrysler's and pizza. He's gone. And now you've got Paxton and you've got Sanchez franchise now with my Dallas Cowgirls. I just think it would have been the Raiders would have been fun. I think they've been a lot of fun. And then the other one I like, I called Hamburger Helper, the quarterback, because he's big and he looks like a hamburger. And then you've got Cousin Subs, the Washington Redskins, Foreskins in the nation capital. A big game, the Pittsburgh Pansies and the Washington Foreskins.
Yeah.
That's another big game.
I agree. We're going to have to continue this. I got 14 seconds and my show is going to end, man. I wish
you
would
have
called me sooner.
You have overtime. Remember, you have overtime on Blog Talk Radio Network. You have more overtime. You can keep talking. You may not be live,
cool.
You can archive. I've been on BTR for 8 years. I'm on Spreaker, and I simulcast on Talk Show and Blog Talk. No, we can. You'll be dead, but you still can record. No worries.
Cool.
Keep right on talking. So I've done 3 hour shows, so we can keep talking. No worry. Are you a premium caller? And you did 2 hour shows, right? So you have another extra whole hour. I always call it overtime. So when I do a 2 hour show, you would have overtime. And then that way you can do a 3 hour show. And I have simulcast on TalkShoe, so callers can come through TalkShoe. I simulcast on TalkShoe, and I'm on Spreaker and my YouTube account, and I'm on iHeartRadio. So real quick now, my no care game of the week, which I don't care about, is the Los Angeles Raccoons and the San Francisco Fortune Cookies. I wouldn't want to your eyes with a bottle of beer. I wouldn't do it. You could give me the hottest actress out there and a case of I don't know, whatever it would be. I'd say, no, thank you. I'll watch soccer. I would watch sissy ball before I watch that game. Your thoughts?
Look, the only bright spot in that game is going to be Todd Gurley, man, if you want to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you. Blaine Gabbert. Who really wants to watch Blaine Gabbert? You know, and Jeff Fisher, you know, he has to be the luckiest coach ever to maintain his job. He's had like 10 consecutive losing seasons, but he still maintains his job, and the Rams gave him an extension. So,
I completely agree
with you on that game. I don't have to watch that game at all. If I see any of it, it'd be on NFL Red Zone when either team get in the red zone to score or something like that. But as far as sitting there watching that whole game, no.
Yep. No, as long as no one gets hurt, I say you run simultaneously because I'm a hardcore football. I'm podcasting because of the National Felon League, and I like sports. But I watch the Barbie, but I just if I wanted to watch it, I'm in Minnesota. I'll be in bed. I'll be snoring Zealand. So I get it. These two Monday nighters, just do a Saturday night. I know it's college. We're having simultaneously or an hour afterwards. That's what's called recording. But I think if you want your total audience, you have to have them together. So, and now the Cleveland Clowns with RG3. I call him the human orgasm. This is his last chance in the National Football League. That's what he is, because he's human orgasm. That's what I call him. And the Cleveland Clowns, the Philadelphia City, the idiots. I call the quarterback the weasel. So now they sent the one-legged man over here to the Queen, the one-legged man, Native American.
Yeah.
He's over here with Break Up a Switch Bitch here in Minnesota. So now the weasel owns the city of brotherly shove. I'm going to tell you, if RG3 pulls his head out of his hindquarters, counts to five, if they win in Lincoln Financial, the city of Brotherly Shove will burn down that city. If Cleveland can get that done, they need to win this game in the idiots in that town. But it's the Washington Foreskins division to lose. Because my Cowgirls with a piranha, which I like, aren't going to go anywhere. Nancy Boy should just retire and give a hall pass to Jerry Jones. You know what I'm saying? Just say, listen, I'm retired.
Yeah.
Urban Meyer is retired, right? Oh, that's right. He came back. And he's like, tuna. You retire, you retire. A buddy of mine retired at NYPD, hasn't carried a weapon in 10 years, okay? You retire, you leave, right? You move on somewhere substantial. So that'd be a put game.
I believe the Browns are going to win the game.
You do? Really?
I believe
I believe
the Browns are going to win that game. Because I'm rooting for RG3. I'm rooting for RG3 to do good, man. He needs a fresh start. He's been looking okay in the preseason, and he has a nice connection going with Terrell Pryor, of all people.
Right.
He has a nice connection going with him. And we already know how good Josh Gordon how good Josh Gordon is. So when Gordon comes back off his suspension, he'll have that guy. But Philadelphia, they're going to be starting Carson Wentz because Sam Bradford's up there with you guys now. So Carson Wentz is going to start, and I don't think Carson Wentz is good enough to be able to beat the Cleveland defense in his first game as a pro.
Here's one thing I liked about Human Organ. When he came up, Human Organ came up. I thought he was 6'5" because he threw well. His biggest problem, remember when he had that ESPY award but he ran against the Vikings? That was the worst thing because then he's 1-2 run. I think if he counts to five, like the human soccer ball I call Russell Wilson out in Peter the Cheetah Land, he creates space and looks down. He's like the Wayne Gretzky of the NFL. He makes – and Magic Johnson, he makes you look good because he moves the ball around. The worst thing when he won the ESPY Award, which is now holding up the bathroom to his career in the bathroom, this is a big – he didn't listen to Chisel Face out there in Washington Foreskins. They fired him. And then he didn't do any well. And I wish nothing but the best for these players. I like football. I don't play fantasy football because I live in the real world. I live with my mother. I don't wear names to the back of jerseys. I cheer for laundry baskets. I want people to be in the Hall of Fame and be legendary. They're not heroes. But I just think he doesn't know how to progress to five. Like the Troy Aikman, like the Starbucks, like Theismann, like, you know, Cash Money out there, Cunningham did, and Cuff Culpepper, and all these old pocket guys, like Brady counts to five. The cripple did 1-2. And like the cripple's little brother, the Giant Giants out there, he does a real good job of counting to five, looking around. I don't want to run against those behemoth 6'5" linebackers. Do you? They're going to kill you. I mean, you'll be a spent condom. You'll be done. You'll be one and done. That's it. I mean, bitch, please. I mean, come on. But I think he's got to learn to progress. You know how he is. He's going to do too much. It's like walking up to an actress who always wanted to go out with and say, I'm your biggest fan. First thing out of your mouth. It's like, how you doing? You know, it's like, you know, I'm talking to a beautiful girl and go, hi, you know, something stupid, or to your favorite rock star, great show, you know, something stupid because you're an idiot. Here's another one on like I said, I think you talk about the Green Bay Packers, the Green Bay Penis Packers. They go to Jacksonville Jackoffs. I expect Jacksonville to win, to get in as a wild card. And Green, this is my Kobe the Kitty miracle upset of the week. My cat, Kobe the Kitty, will come down from Rainbow Bridge in a Christmas tree, and he will deliver a miracle in Jacksonville. They should have went out and got the Mile High Messiah, and they should have went out and got the Johnny Football. They could have had the Playboy and the Choir Boy. The Choir Boy took him to church. He takes him to a strip bar. Could have the Odd Couple. What a great reality show. Because you didn't mention Tebow in a strip bar. A Bad Dog 20 in the church confessing his sins. That'd be epic. Me and you would direct that. We could live in Belize, live for a life with the money. We could be Keeper of the Kardashians, NFL stuff. The National Family presents, blah, 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 blah. Be like, I'll tell you what, hey, you guys, we're the Odd Couple in Jacksonville. My buddy, man, Tyrone, that was a good time. Huh? Hold up, man, it's Bill Clinton, you guys. We're going to have ourselves a good time because I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Lewinsky. All right, Minnesota goes to Tennessee Tater Tots in the Jungle Room, right? You got one of my favorite quarterbacks down there, Tarzan. We're going to see what he does down there. That'll be interesting, down in Tater Tot country. What do you think, the Tater Tots and the Queens? What do you think, Tater Tots or the Queens? Who do you think wins that game?
Who represents the Tater Tots?
Tennessee Tater Tots with Carson.
Oh, the Titans.
I call the quarterback Tar. Yeah, Tater Tots. What do you think?
And who are the Tater Tots playing?
The Minnesota Queens are going down
Minnesota.
Tennessee.
Oh man, Minnesota's going to beat them. Adrian Peterson's going to run the ball over them.
I think so. We'll see.
I do believe Marcus Mariota's going to have a decent year, and he's going to be able to throw the ball, you know, to Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
But you know, Minnesota has that good defense, man. I mean, they got Sharif Floyd. They got Xavier Rhodes. They got Harrison Smith. I mean, they got too many good guys. So I really don't see the Titans really having much of a shot, but I am curious to see if DeMarco Murray is going to be able to run the ball on that defense.
Yeah, I know you're right.
But all in all, I'm going to take the Vikings to win that game, win that opener.
All right. How about dysentery country? The Buffalo Buffoons, which I call them now, go to Baltimore Jailbirds. Ray Rice, who the home of the bloody white suit, the Baltimore Jailbirds. And the Buffalo Bimbos, the Buffalo Bimbos, the coach is worried about the Jets instead of winning the Super Bowl. If Buffalo doesn't win this game, I would throw the keys coach to Hurts and say, we'll see you back in Buffalo. When you get back, you're fired, and you're going to retire like Urban Meyer. So the Buffalo Bimbos must beat the Jailbirds. And Ray Rice, who comes out of retirement, his wife gives birth to a baby. They rename it. They name the girl Buffalo. Okay, so who knows? But I don't know. I think it's going to be an interesting week one in the National League. Who's your two teams, before I cut you loose on your show, in the hysteria in Houston? What are the two teams? I'm taking the Chicklets, like I said, over the Arizona Cupcakes. That's my pick. I'm sticking to it until the fork gets stuck in my back. So who are your two teams? I know it's tough. Give me your two teams in H-Town that you think will be holding the trophy over their head in the National Football League and Caps America, Mr. Roger Goodell, who couldn't tell me he saw the punch in the elevator and other behavior. The leader of the Falcons. What do you think? The Captain America, who will Captain America hang that trophy to? Give me your thoughts. Go ahead.
I believe it's going to be a rematch of a couple years ago. I believe it's going to be the Seattle Seahawks and New England Patriots. With the New England Patriots holding the crown. Why not piss Roger Goodell off again? Why not piss Roger Goodell off again? And after all the stuff he put the Patriots through this year, stick it in Roger Goodell's face. So I'm going to say the New England Patriots are going to hold the trophy.
Very nice. Peter the Cheater has taken on the New England Tea Party as the baby maker and the video cheater. At it again. Wow. All right. Well, I call him the baby maker. I call him that's what he is, the video cheater. And maybe he gave money to a charity. And Aaron Hernandez murdered three people in cold blood under the shield of the National Football League. So they still love him out there in New England Tea Party. I always go out there and go, I tell you what, my name is Aaron Hernandez. I'm going to come back to the Patriots. I'm a gangster because I played for the Florida Gangsters, not the Miami Hoodlums. So, get my point. So, well, hey, and also, the first coach to get fired in the National Football League, Numbnuts from the Motor City Kitties by week five. Mrs. Firestone will get a
place
to
fire
him.
He should have been fired this past season.
I agree. Well, you know what she said? You know what she said, sir? I didn't get around to it. It's like saying, I'm going to hire you for my job. I don't have time to it. She should have went down there and said, listen, you can go coach the cripple at the Indianapolis Cracker Jacks, but you got lucky, but the Motor City Kitties, here's a Chevy, get the hell out of here, you know? So I think the cockroaches they fire their two, the San Diego cockroaches will fire their coach as well, too. And my Cowboys, Wussy Boy, will get fired at national team at halftime after they lose in the middle of the week, and Nancy Boy will retire to go back to Arizona, so. It is what it is. But, gentlemen, you enjoy the National Football League this year, and we'll catch you along. My name is Jeff from Speculation Sports and the NFL Podcast. We're everywhere. We're worldwide. We're on Twitter, Capital Radio. Gentlemen, it was a pleasure to talk to you on your show. You keep it real here on the Blowtorch Network, BTR. We're over on Spricker. God bless, and hopefully go, Dallas Cowgirls. Ciao.